Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our second lesson, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at the 6th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, back in the 1960s, for those of us who can remember back that far, back in the 1960s, there was one word they kept repeating over and over again. What did they say? Give peace a chance. Peace, peace, peace. And in the Christian church, we had much the same thing going on. In the Christian church, we often reflect the society and its fads and the issues of the day. And back then, song became very popular. It was called the Prayer of St. Francis. The Prayer of St. Francis. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Now back in the 1990s, for those of us who can remember back that far, in the 1990s there was another prayer that was very popular. Back then there were a lot of preachers who were preaching what was called name it and claim it. Anybody remember that? Name it and claim it. God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to be wealthy. And so all you got to do is pray for it, and it's going to come your way. And the prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, was very popular at the time. Books were written about it. Sermons were preached about it. The prayer, O Lord, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. Of course, I mentioned the prayer of Jabez, and most of us, if we ever heard of it, have forgotten about it. And so it is with fads. They come and they go. Now, while everybody else is crowding into the front seat, we Lutherans, of course, feel more comfortable where? Way in the back. No offense to anybody up front. We feel comfortable way in the back, don't we? And we don't step forward, we don't put ourselves to the front of the line. Other folks have their prayers, they can publish books about them. We'll just pray our prayer quietly. Here's our prayer. It's called the Good Courage Prayer, which is a terrible title, but you'll see why it's called that in just a moment. It says, O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending. By paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now that would have been a good prayer for the Oregon Trail. People that took the Oregon Trail will recount it how, and one person put it like this. They said the trip on the Oregon Trail was one continuous quarrel. Now that doesn't sound very heroic, does it? Our state flag has a covered wagon on it and it tells the day when our stay was started. And one continuous quarrel, it does not sound heroic, but think about it for a moment. If you had gone on the Oregon Trail, would you have done any better? How much quarreling went on? Why was there quarreling that went on? Why? Because you left everything behind. Family, friends, your familiar past. Every single day you go on ahead to a place you've never seen before. You don't know where it's going. You don't know if the wagon's going to hold up. You don't know if the ox are going to get lame. You don't know what's going to happen. And then when you get here, I don't even know what Oregon is like. People talk about it. But I don't know what it's like. No doubt folks quarreled. No doubt. We know the children of Israel did as they wandered through the wilderness, places they hadn't been to before. And we know what they quarreled about. They quarreled with each other. They quarreled with Moses, but mostly who they quarreled with? The good Lord. They quarreled with the good Lord. They said, there's no food. There's no food. They said, Lord, there's no water. They said, we do not understand where we are being led. We cannot see where we are going here. We do not understand this situation. And why did they quarrel? Well, if you look behind all of it, what you'll see is that folks just simply felt powerless. They felt powerless. They have no control over their situation. Now, they try to do things to get control. One of the things that they did was, remember how God would give them manna to eat each and every day. Manna, which means in Hebrew, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. But God gave them manna every day. And some folks said, you know what? It would be really smart if we collect the manna for the day, and then we'll collect a little extra and put it in a pot, and we'll keep it for a rainy day. What happened? It spoiled. It only lasted a day. And the next day you had to do what? You had to get up and get the manna again. You had to trust the Lord. Other folks said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're ambitious. We'll collect the manna that we need, and then we'll collect some more. We'll put it in some pots, and then we'll sell it. And we'll make some money to as a hedge for a rainy day. And what happened? Manna spoiled. Other folks were very ambitious. Other folks were great leaders. And they said, you know what, Moses? I don't know where Moses has taken us here. I will be your leader now. And I know where I'm going. I know what has control. We're going to go where? Back to Egypt. Now, we were slaves, but at least things were under control. They were under Pharaoh's control, but they were under control. We had a roof over our head. We had maybe not three squares a day, but we at least had food to eat. We had water to drink, and we knew where things were coming from. We need to go back to Egypt. Why did they do these things? To get the situation back under control. To ensure the outcome. To be able to rest easy in their minds. And the Lord said, you know what? Too bad. I'm not going to let you rest easy in your minds. I'm not going to let you rest easy in your circumstances. I'm not going to let you rest easy in your situation. Moses says to the people, the Lord made you hunger. The Lord made you hunger to teach you something. That man, you can finish the sentence, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And so today's second lesson. You daily have to trust the Lord until you see the promised land. Today's second lesson. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, in order that he might exalt you at the appointed time. That's one of those verses in the Bible that are sort of like a synopsis or a little quick summary of your whole Christian life. And it says it has two parts. Be humbled, be exalted. Be humbled, be exalted. And what's interesting here is that the Bible does not see the word humble or humbled in the same way that we do. We hear humble and we say what? That person is so humble. They're so quiet. They're so gentle. They're so peaceful. And the Bible says that may be, but that's not what we're talking about. Humble is not a virtue. Humble is a situation. Humble is a place where you're at. It's a condition. You are someone who is powerless. You are humbled. You do not have control over your destiny. You're a person who has no mastery over your life or your circumstances. You are at the beck and call and whim of other people. It's a word that is used for slaves. It's a word that's used for people in desperate poverty. It's a word that's used for people like Hagar, driven out of Abraham's tents, like Leah, who was unloved, like Jacob, who got tricked into serving 7 years beyond his contract, like Joseph, who was imprisoned in Egypt, like Hannah, who was taunted by her husband's other wife, because Hannah didn't have children. It's a word that describes David fleeing his son Absalom. It's a word that describes St. Paul, who is described by people who didn't like him. They said, you know what? Paul is timid. He's timid. The man who wrote the book of Romans, the man who wrote 1 Corinthians 13, The man who wrote the book of Galatians, by grace you are saved, or excuse me, that's Ephesians, by grace you are saved. And they said, he's timid. You have people mentioned in today's psalm. It says that they are the fatherless. They are the widows. They are the lonely. They are the prisoners. They are people like our Lord Jesus. Now, what you have right there is what people call an oxymoron. An oxymoron. You know what that is? Not moron, an oxymoron. What is it? It's something that's mutually contradictory. My friend, this is the most common one that you probably hear. My friend was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he said that military intelligence is an oxymoron. Contradictory things. And so here also, Lord Jesus. He's the Lord, he's my Lord, and yet what happens to him? He goes to a cross. He's the Lord, he's my Lord. People throw insults at him. He's the Lord, he's my Lord. His disciples abandon him. He's the Lord, he's my Lord. He dies at 33 years old with his program in a shambles. He's the Lord, he's my Lord. But worst of all, we esteemed him, Isaiah 53, stricken by God and afflicted. And this is the one that says to you, come to me, you who are weary, you who are heavy laden. And why are you weary? Why are you heavy laden? Well, a lot of times everything's out of control. It's out of control. But come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, everybody knows, apart from the Lord, everybody knows that the way of rest is to get your power back, to get your control back, to have mastery over your situation once again. And the Lord says no. He says the way of rest is to learn that man does not what? Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And so, be humbled, therefore, not be humble. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, in order that he might exalt you at the appointed time. Or if you'd like, take the words from our little catechism, which says this. It says, where there is forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. Where you have your sins are forgiven, you know that from the hand of God you will have life and you will have salvation. You may be humbled, you may be exalted, but you're still under the favor of God. You are still under the mighty hand of God. And so it was that Hagar was made into a great nation. Leah had many sons. Jacob became richer than Laban, who was trying to cheat him. Joseph was made the ruler of Egypt. Hannah was given a son by the name of Samuel. David was restored to his kingdom. St. Paul, the timid man, St. Paul received the crown of life. And he rejoiced in that. And our Lord Jesus, how about him? There was the cross. There was death. There was burial. And then there was Easter. And then this last Thursday in the church calendar, there's a celebration of the Day of Ascension. What happened? After he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits where? At the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And how is that any different than you? Now, you don't sit at God's right hand. That's for the Son of God. But you also, though, inherit the glory of heaven. You inherit the joy of heaven. You occupy that. How are you different than Jesus? Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. There is forgiveness. There is life. There is salvation. You know how this thing's going to turn out. You know what the outcome will be. You may be humbled, but you will also be exalted. The question is not if, but when. All right. So who among us here today is patient? Can you raise your hand? Who's patient? No takers on that one? I remember the prayer that was written on the wall of a lady I once visited, a Christian lady. She had a little thing on the wall that said, "Lord, please grant me patience and please hurry up." Please hurry up. No, patience does not come naturally to us. But as children of God, what do we have? We have a trust in the Lord. And that's not nothing. That's not even just something. That's everything. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Faith alone saves, faith in the mercy of God, faith in the power of God, faith that enters the promised land, faith that hears, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." Faith that always prays to the Lord. O God, you've called your servants to ventures of which we can't see the ending. Paths as yet untrodden, perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.